Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key today. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Check us out on ESPNU up to 10 a.m. Eastern. Aaron Rodgers speaks today, as Pat McAfee will let you know on social media, at 1 p.m. to Pat McAfee. What will we hear? Is he just going to be like, yes, I'm going to the Jets? Or is he going to string us along? Well, I hope he strings us along, tell you the truth. It's free content. Best content creator of the last several years. Meantime, NBA MVP Jokic seemed to be headed, almost cruising towards his third MVP, consecutive MVP, even though he's not in a lot of people's top five in any of those seasons, right? But was about to win his third MVP. But listen, you know how in a fight it could be close and competitive, but you're like, yes, but one guy was the decisive winner because he's winning every round by a little bit? That's how I feel it is right now. I don't know about Jokic. Well, I do know about it, and I don't think it's Jokic. Anyway, this is my tier pressure. And the way it works is one guy's in the first tier, two guys are in the second tier, three guys are in the third tier, pyramid style. Tier pressure from this just in yesterday.
Here's tier three. Tatum, Lillard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Here's tier two. Giannis, and I would put him second, Jokic third. And in tier one right now, the best, the guy who deserves the MVP is Joel Embiid. Not only are his numbers as good as anybody's, right? He's a better defensive player than Jokic, obviously. You can do whatever you want with defensive box plus, ridiculous. Obviously, everyone agrees he's a way better defensive player than Jokic. He's just as good an offensive player. You want to say Jokic is a little better, whatever. Head to head, he gets Jokic. I don't see the argument against Embiid from Jokic. I think Giannis has the best argument against Embiid.
All right, so there it is. That's my MVP tiers. These rankings are brought to you by Dell for small business needs. Call a Dell Technologies Advisor today, 877-ASK-DELL. Have at it, Jay.
Have at what?
The list.
I mean, so you have crowned Joel Embiid as of right now, even though it's fluid, as your MVP?
At this moment,
I got no
yes.
problem with it. As long as it's not something that, Jokic has won it too many times, so I'd rather give it to Joel Embiid because he hasn't won it. I'm like, that doesn't...
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, but
No, not Jokic. Giannis.
Giannis has won it too many times.
Yeah, there's fatigue. Giannis won it a couple times. Like, let's give it to Jokic. He won it a couple times. It's Embiid's turn. I think there... Embiid doesn't need that against Jokic. He's having a better year than Jokic by a little bit. But against Giannis, I think he needs a little of that.
Despise. And I hate... more than anything in life from somebody who's a competitor when awards are given out because somebody has won it too much.
Yeah, I agree.
Get over it. Yeah. This award is for the best player in the game. If the best player in the game wins it 9 times, then so be it. LeBron James should have won it multiple times more. Michael Jordan should have won it multiple times more. But this whole thing about voter fatigue, get the hell out of here with
Get out of here with that.
Give it to the dude who is that dude.
But do you think Giannis is decisively better than Embiid
now? To me, I think Giannis has a slight edge.
All right, slight edge.
A slight edge. Barely on Joel Embiid just because they're number one in the Eastern Conference. And by the way, he's done it without – and I give a little bit more of an edge to Giannis just because not having Chris Middleton, even though I respect Jrue Holiday, you can look at them as a big three, not having Chris Middleton for 25 games.
Big.
And some of the – astronomical games Giannis has had, and Joel Embiid has astronomical games too. Same with Jokic. But I think for him to carry his team to the top of the Eastern Conference.
Chris, I can't argue with Jay if he wants to put.
There's a slight edge for me.
If he wants to put Giannis one.
Even though I think the numbers slightly skew in Joel Embiid's favor.
If you want to put Giannis one and Embiid two, I'm not going to argue too strenuously against that. I would have Embiid one and Giannis two, but I get it. the issue, and this is not a reaction because Jokic has already won it twice for me. I really believe the lack of defense moves him below the other two guys. Where are you with this?
Yeah, I'm with you too. I mean, I don't care about Jokic being first in defensive box plus minus because I saw what the Toronto Raptors did to Jokic last night at Scotiabank Arena. They were actively searching him out in the half court sets in order to exploit Jokic's lack of defensive prowess. So he is a liability, not a net neutral, a liability on the defensive end. And when we're talking about giving out MVPs, I want a guy that can impact the game on both ends of the court. And you clearly get that from Giannis and Joel Embiid. I would probably lean toward Embiid just because I didn't think that he would be able to repeat what we saw last year and leading the league with scored. And the guy has only gotten better when it comes to his offensive efficiency. So I would probably lean toward Embiid, but I'm with you. I think Embiid and Giannis are right there. I would have Jokic third. Jay, you said something that was interesting to me. You talked about the voter fatigue, and the MVP award is really a big component in terms of how we judge a lot of players in the annals of NBA history. How much of not wanting to give Jokic or anybody else, you know, consecutive MVPs has to do with not wanting to put guys in the same stratosphere as Larry Bird and some of the other all-time greats that have won the award two or three consecutive times?
I mean, look, I always look at historical context, CC, and the numbers speak for themselves. I don't think looking at some of the historical greats who have done it, that would make me dismiss putting Jokic in that conversation if I didn't think he was going to live up to the altitude or the height of those historical greats. If that makes
sense. No, I'm asking if the voters would do that, though. Voters would do that?
That's the problem with the voting. It's subjective. Like, there is no set criteria on who the MVP should be. And by the way, that fluidity is the problem with it because it feels like each year that goalpost is moved. You know, is it like, and that's why we came up with our own criteria that we're going to go through eventually, where it's like, all right, let's set some standards here that each and every year we can have these marks and we can work off these marks instead of one mark meaning more one year than another, right? Is it about games played? Do you factor that into it? How many games if it's about games played? So, like, you should dig into some more details.
Well, that's where Jokic has them. He's been a little more durable.
Well, that's what it was with Joel Embiid the year before, right? Joel Embiid was hurt.
Same thing. Jokic has been a little more durable, period, than Embiid. And so you could argue if it's that close, then the guy who plays more games, since it's stupidly a regular season award,
but that's
no
the same
postseason
this year. Same this year, Joel Embiid has played 54.
Right. So
Giannis has played 53, right, as opposed to Jokic's 60.
But I would still say if you can't defend to the extent that Jokic can't defend, and you're talking about a guy who defends at the level Embiid does, which I know it's hard for a modern center to be a great defender, but insofar as he's a wide body 7-footer, he's excellent. And then Giannis, come on. You're not making that up by playing a few extra games. Because the high leverage moments, you know, which is what an MVP needs to be able to perform in, that's going to factor in.
Yeah. I do want to dispel something that I heard yesterday. And I am in agreement with people on this show about, look, I think Jokic, even though like defensive win shares are the same, I think sometimes metrics can skew you differently because they're the same as Joel Embiid, but they're not the same defensive player. They're not.
No.
Joel Embiid is a better defensive player.
But I think everyone recognizes that defensive metrics are not accurate at capturing defensive value, not to the extent offensive ones are. And here's case study number one.
Agreed. Right? But I was going to get into the fact that Jokic leads the NBA in kicked balls. Have you heard about this? Like it was something that really happened the other day. Jokic has 45 kick ball violations this year. He leads the league. Number two has 17. Right?
So sounds like a stat that Draymond would lead the league in.
Yeah, but you know, as I agree that Jokic isn't the same type of defender as Joel Embiid or Giannis, like to me, like this is not an indication of that because like that's just a smart play sometimes. Sometimes if you see a pass, just give it a kick, stop the play.
Do you understand?
Like, I don't think that deems as
– or, Jay, or are you out of position defensively?
Sure, but a lot of times players are out of position defensively, right?
But do they result in kick balls? Because it's only 17 if there's a whole bunch of players out of position all the time.
No, I agree with you. I mean, you could be out of position, But, like, you know, like Joel Embiid is not always in great defensive position. He can recover quicker, though.
But are
like
they,
his skills are better in that facet.
Are they hunting that
pick
matchup?
Balls?
No. Nobody's hunting Joel Embiid.
Joel Embiid and Giannis and pick and rolls when it matters most. No.
Hence is why I have Jokic third on my list right now, Allen Yates.
I'm just asking for the people, you know.
But here's the other thing about Jokic. I think this is when the backlash started. When it looked like he was going to run away with his third consecutive MVP. The guys who have done that in the past, like Larry Bird was, and I know now it's like Larry or Magic. I'm just telling people who lived through that era. That really was not a thing. Larry Bird was considered the best player in the NBA by quite a bit. And in fact, his competition was probably Moses Malone, even though Malone was starting to get older, right? Like, but that was the guy who Larry took it over from, really. But the point is, he won three in a row. Larry Bird is one of the very greatest players ever. He was always considered either the best or in certain years, maybe the second best player in the league. Jokic has never been considered the best player in the league by anyone. Usually not in most people's top three. Oftentimes floating in and out of most people's top five.
Has Joel Embiid been in your top three?
Joel Embiid, no. I would say for most people,
has he been in your top five?
Yes.
Really? When?
Yeah.
Yes.
Usually.
Yeah.
When?
Yeah. Last couple of years,
I'm asking you to tell me. When has Joel Embiid been in your top five players in the league? Give me your top five players in the league.
Right now you want him?
I mean, sure. I mean, you're the one that's telling me he's been in top five.
I
think
but
Joel
what do you mean
Embiid's...
when? I'm saying over the last 3 or 4 years, Embiid has been oftentimes in my top five. What can I tell you? Like, I don't know how else. When you say when, you want the date?
No, I never remember hearing you say that Joel Embiid's been top five in the league.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I just don't recall that. I'm just pinning you down on it. We're talking about it. Because I think Joel Embiid is one of the most gifted players in the league. I have not said he's top five. I haven't said he's top five.
Really?
Max, he's trying to pin you down like his collar on his vest.
I'm just asking. I'm sorry, Max. I mean, it's one thing when you just say, yeah, it's been top five. I'm asking you, like, when you have named Joel Embiid top five, who have you put him over?
I'm just curious. How do I answer that question? How would you let you want the date or like what? Yes, I have oftentimes on this show mentioned Joel Embiid as a top five player. Absolutely. And in fact, the guys who, and now, is he top three? No. Does he also float in and out of my top five? Yes. Because there's one guy, LeBron James, who until very recently was holding down the top spot. Another guy in KD.
Are you putting him over Giannis?
Nope.
Are you putting him over Steph?
No.
Are you putting him over Kevin Durant?
No.
You putting him over LeBron?
Right now it gets tricky, but no.
All right. Just asking.
But those are the four. However, if you, like, do I put Giannis over KD? No, I don't. But who's the best player in the league? Giannis, because KD's not available enough. LeBron's not available enough. So
availability matters. So Jokic is always available.
Yes, he is. And that gives him some extra gives him some extra credit. So if you said who's the best player in basketball, I think everyone would say Giannis. But if you said when healthy, who's the best player in basketball, to me it's KD. And by the way, it ain't that close. But okay. So like Embiid basically plays most of full seasons, right? Since he had a slow start with injury to start his career. And as a result, someone who I might like when he's healthy more, like KD or LeBron, I can't put ahead of him.
Luka?
It's a good one. Because Luka's a worse defender than Jokic. He is awful. But, man, when he has that ball in his hands.
Boy, we did see Luka in the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
So, like, I just start throwing, like,
he's a bad dude, Chris.
Here's what I'm going to say. Here's what I'm going to say live. Yeah, so, like, Allen Yates is my boy. Allen Yates on the show, we talk hoops. Almost, I call him every day, pretty much. We talking hoops. The one thing I always use as a caveat, the thing that I think works against Joel Embiid that shouldn't work against him, is the fact that this lack of productivity in the playoffs – which a lot of it is centered around Doc Rivers, man.
Yeah.
It's about 100%. How he's utilized. And you start seeing how the offense in Michael Malone is ran through Jokic every possession. How the offense is ran through Giannis every possession. How the offense is ran through Luka every possession. Like, KD drops in and out because his talent is overall the best skill set in the game. How the offense is ran through LeBron. And I'm wondering when Doc Rivers is going to make that thing to make the offense run through Joel Embiid.
And Embiid, as diverse as his skills are on offense and defense,
falls out of his hands a lot,
by historical standards, he's less of a bring the ball up big guy, right, than even Jokic, but especially Giannis.
It shouldn't work against
him.
Yeah,
and Embiid was at the mercy of Ben Simmons and or James Harden in postseasons, guys. Let's not forget that, too.
That's a great point.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Carlos Santana.
Get him, Carlos. Get him, Carlito.
Keyshawn.
Now you look like you just had a moment, Jay.
Come on, man. Reminded me of Spanish Harlem. I had some days.
You think about those Spanish Harlem nights?
Is that Jay Will up here in
Harlem? Is he from Jersey? KJM.
That's the Bourne Supremacy.
Yeah, there you go.
Presented by the Progressive Supremacy. Insurance. So while we're talking, you know, it's sad. While we're talking about, is he better than this guy? Is he better than that guy? And we're, you know, oh my God, who's the face of the league? And who should be MVP? And who's having the best season? And who's top three? And who's top five? Man, the guy who should be in the middle of all of those conversations isn't even playing basketball right now. And he's not injured physically, right? Ja Morant, who I thought was the future of the league.
He still has a legit chance to be.
He might, because of what's happening right now. He might. But Ja Morant, who people, oh, he's AI, he's this, he's that. I always looked at him like he reminds me of Jordan. The way, you know, smaller, obviously, but the way he hangs up in the air and everyone else, one, two, three, comes down, but he's still somehow walking on the air. Like, I don't know how he does it. He had apparently limitless future on a good young team, by the way. And now, all of a sudden, just like that, will we see him the rest of this year? Here is Mark J. Spears, Antscape senior writer on the Hoop Collective, about Ja's status.
My prayers to him, man, that he figures it out. There's things I'm hearing that I'd rather probably not say on this podcast
Get out over your skis.
But I hope he's taking care of himself. I'm not really worried about the basketball part for him right now, man. I'm worried about the human part, and that when he does come back, he's healthy mentally and physically, man. Like my guess now is, if I was, you know, not that you bet on this, that he doesn't play the rest of the season as he takes care of himself.
Now, Jaws had a confrontation with a high school kid, and he flashed a gun at a club, and he broadcasted it on his own social media, which was idiotic. But maybe it was a cry for help, because the upshot is, the result of it is, he is in counseling and gone for indefinitely, right? Jay, maybe this, the kind of blessing in disguise here is that because he is in counseling and whatever the issue is, he can always point that and say, hey, I'm, you know, even if he's in too deep in something he shouldn't be in, he can always point to that and say, look, I have a career and this is what they're telling me to do. He hasn't been charged with anything. You know, maybe he can still get it together.
You mean for his career?
Yes.
Yeah, he can get it together for his career. Look, the door should still be wide open on Ja Morant to be the face of the NBA. You know why? We love redemption stories. Like, this society loves to build people up, break you down, to build you back up again. And the reason why we love redemption stories, in particular a chance for it to be Ja Morant's redemption story, is because he decided to address it head on. In his statement, there's accountability. And it's one of the conversations we've been having around March Madness. I had it yesterday on CNN with Chris Wallace, Jay Billis, Kenny Smith, and we heard Charlie Baker talk about the transfer portal. You know, my issue with the transfer portal is if I hold you accountable, you could just leave. Oh, well, this coach told me to do this and he's treating me too harshly. I'm out of here. And that's the problem with society. It's the reason why companies have issues with the retention rates, right, with employees, because I didn't get a bonus fast enough. I'm out of here. People aren't willing to face adversity and work through it. So for me, what I see with Ja Morant is the opportunity to face adversity head on. And I agree with Mark and Jay Smears. There are things that I've heard that I'm not going to say on this show that he needs to address, and I'm glad he's allocating the time to do that, Chris Canty, because a lot of times what happens with young athletes is because of the money, because of the fame, because of the success that we have on the field or on the court, it keeps covering up these issues that constantly we see people addressing, because guess what? We like winning. As long as you win, everything else will take care of itself. And what's happening is Ja and his team now are saying, no, 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 no. Winning doesn't cure all. I have to address these things so these bad habits change. And I know that when I start winning, I won't revert back to these bad habits because I need to change who I am. So, yes, I think we will reward a Ja Morant redemption story if he gets back to the heights of who we know he can be basketball-wise.
Yeah, that's well said, Jay. And first and foremost, I'm glad he's getting the help that he needs in order to, you know, fix the issues that are going on in his personal life so he can be the best version of himself on and off the court. Now, what I will also say is well done is better than well said. Mm. And I'm going to need to see that from Ja Morant. But in the interim, I think both the player, the team, and the league, they're all doing the right thing here. Ja Morant getting the help he needs should be the priority. But Ja Morant also being held accountable and not being on the basketball court is also important. If for no other reason, you're sending a message to the rest of the NBA and to all of the kids that are watching and aspiring to be like Ja Morant and other superstars in the NBA that this type of behavior is unacceptable. I don't understand why Ja Morant was dry snitching on himself with the gun in the club. I don't get that. I don't understand it. But again, you're talking about some issues that he's dealing with in his personal life. Now, when it comes to the road back to being one of the faces of the league, it's a long road ahead of him. Powerade dropped him as a sponsor. Nike is continuing their relationship, but they're probably putting a pause on their release of that signature shoe. Like, we're going to have to see Ja Morant, you know, in the changes that he's made in his personal life and the fruit of that before we're going to buy into him being one of the faces of the league. He's already a star player. He's a really good basketball player. But being one of the faces of the league is not just about being good on the basketball court. It's being good for business. And what Ja Morant did, the behaviors that he's exhibited over the past year and a half with multiple incidents in brandishing a gun, it's hard to say that that behavior is good for business. Think back to 2009 when the NBA decided, hey, we're going to take Gilbert Arenas off the court for 50 games. You're not going to see him for the rest of the regular season. Why? Because he's bad for business and bringing guns to a locker room. Think about what David Stern, the former commissioner, did with Carmelo Anthony, is sitting down and talking to him and saying, your behavior is not good for business. You're messing with a corporation. Well, that's what Ja Morant was doing with his social media post and, you know, an understanding that detrimental impact to the business of the NBA. So I think there is a long road to Ja Morant getting back to being the face of the NBA or one of the faces, but I do think it's something that Ja Morant can do.
That's right. I think that's well said. It's not theoretically impossible, but it's going to take a, there's a long, long road ahead. I will remind people, Michael Vick actually went to prison for dogfighting, came back, and was a real redemption story because everyone could tell from the way he was talking and behaving that he had worked on himself genuinely, not just paid lip service to it, and he played well. Had he played like he did with the Falcons, he'd have been an even bigger star. So Ja is still young. He's not coming back from injury, anything like that. He's still ascending. And no, and this country likes nothing more than a redemption story, as Jay said. Is Aaron Rodgers worth fulfilling a wish list before he decided to play for your team?
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Chris Canty in for Key today. Thomas Dimitrov, former NFL GM, two-time Super Bowl champion, CEO of Summer Sports, is with us now. Morning, Thomas.
Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Doing well. Okay. What do you think, as a former GM, of Rodgers giving the Jets a wish list of players to target? Are you okay with that? Would you be okay with that as a GM of a team?
It would be tough for me, but given the fact that it's Aaron Rodgers, and I do believe he's one of the very best to play that position, you have to consider it. It's complicated. Mm. We allowed Tony Gonzalez not to come to training camp one year, and that was a big thing for myself and Mike Smith. This is a much bigger deal. I think you have to consider it.
TD, how impactful is Rodgers' presence or absence throughout the offseason? Is it on this young roster that the Jets have?
I think it's vital. I think he is going to make the difference with this team. We all know that. Not only on the field, but off the field. His leadership ability, his ability to take all of the younger guys in offensive line that we know is good, and in a coaching staff that we know will be thriving on his leadership. Very, very important for this team to take it to the next level. Look, I'm all for it. I know it's complicated. He's holding everyone at bay. We need him in there in the New York Jet land, that's for sure.
Tom, we have Mike Tannenbaum on our show a couple of weeks ago. Used to be former upper management for the Jets, yeah. GM for the Jets. And he was talking a lot about the situation that happened in Green Bay, about Tom not being around in the offseason, a lot of wide receivers being young. If you are the general manager of the Jets now, if you're Joe Douglas and you're in a situation and you're looking at this saying, okay, like, we know the talent, but the leadership aspect, how would you address that to ensure that that situation did not occur again?
You know, Joe Douglas, as anyone knows Joe, he's just a really good guy. Not only that, he's a very good football man. He has a good understanding along with his head coach. You just have to be very direct. You lay the cards on the table as far as what's expected. Things were always up and down there with that group in Green Bay with Aaron. Of course, he'd been there as long as he had been. He comes in. He's a new guy on the block a little bit in New York, if he does. And I think Joe I just think they need to sit down and be very, very direct and make sure, again, that, not only with the players, but also with the coaches and how he's going to treat the coaches. Look, I love George Payton in Denver. However, I do not think you should bring in a guy like Aaron Rodgers and give him an office and 5 parking spots. I don't believe that. I just believe you need to make sure that he is running the show as far as the player leader.
So, Thomas, really quickly, a big part of this equation is the compensation going back to the Green Bay Packers in an Aaron Rodgers trade. Now, Rodgers has gone year to year for the last several years. If you're Joe Douglas, how do you manage that? And knowing that the Green Bay Packers are going to ask for the moon and the stars with a 4-time MVP that's won a championship.
You know, I was talking to someone recently about this. As a general manager in today's world, these guys are no longer making $1 million a year, gentlemen. These guys are making a lot of money. I'm talking about the general managers and the head coaches. A lot rides on this. They're very, very keen on parlaying this into more contracts. Of course, they want to be successful and win championships. Number one thing. But along the way, they understand that there's a lot involved here. And they're going to put their butts on the line, basically, so to speak, here. And they're going to understand that this is not for long, more than we all know. We've heard that many, many years. Chris, you know that. This is something that a general manager has to take into consideration, and he has to understand that the money needs to be spent to, and the compensation needs to be spent to bring them into another level so that they can continue to win and continue to keep their situation and their jobs, you know, current and strong. And look, there are all kinds of hot seat elements out there in the NFL. Believe me, I was on the hot seat every damn year of my life. That's just the way it is. We understand that. We have to do what's best for the team.
Before we let you go, talking to Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL GM, 2-time Super Bowl champion, CEO of Summer Sports, Lamar Jackson is a 26-year-old superstar who apparently is available, at least technically, right, if he's got the non-exclusive tag. And yet, as quick as you could blink, 5 teams let it leak that they're not interested in that. They all needed quarterbacks, right? So a lot of players around the league start tweeting, collusion. I get it. You know, it's very difficult to prove, but what teams should be calling for Lamar at today's deadline?
Well, I think you know, look, I would go back to my former team. I mean, I know they just signed Heinicke. I get that. But they are in a situation where they obviously need a quarterback, and they need a quarterback that, you know, has all levels of ability, not only to throw the ball, move the ball around. I understand. I believe they are a team that should be, you know, totally focused on this. That said, I understand they also are in a situation that they're finally out of their cap situation that they've been worrying about and concerned about. They have draft picks that they don't want to give up. So there is a back and forth in this league about this. Yes. That whole argument about collusion is something that's strong out there. Look, I do know this. One thing I do know, collusion aside, I don't even like to call it collusion. There are always discussions about, you know, not having to go into a situation where you're pouring out guaranteed money. That is the discussion we're having right now. And all these teams, they just don't want to be sort of inconvenienced in the process of putting together their roster. Remember, gentlemen, This is multifaceted. Yes, you think they need to get the best quarterback, but you also understand they have to change offenses for a guy like Lamar just because he's such a special case. And not only does that have to do with your coaching staff, it has to do with your entire organization. There's a lot involved here. There's a lot of money involved here. That said, again, you need a quarterback to win in this league. I think the teams that truly need to put all of those information – all of that information and all of those concerns aside and think what's going to win them games and keep their jobs.
Thank you, Thomas Dimitroff, former NFL GM, for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
What they really want from a...
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. So I asked a question going into the last break. How many people think they could throw a 10-yard pass in an NFL game? And by 10 yards, you don't have to throw the ball 10 yards down the field. You throw a 2-yard pass, a guy picks up 8 yards after the catch.
I could do it. I think I can do it as long as I didn't see a guy like CeCe standing across from me.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Even if you think you could get off a shovel pass, you'd have to do it before you got carted off the field in a stretcher, right?
I'm just trying to tell
and not
people,
you are a world-class athlete, Jay. I'm talking about, your average Tom, Dick, or Harry.
I see Chris Canty sitting next to me when he's on set, and that's without helmets. Like, that's without a helmet. That's without pads. And I'm still intimidated.
Yeah.
Like, before you put on all that, and then you look like you're 6'9", 300 pounds. I'm not messing with that, CeCe. I don't want it.
Chris hasn't seen 300 pounds since he was in high school, probably. It's a 300.
Easy, Max. See? Easy.
What did you play at, Chris?
330.
And what that do you walk around at now?
All right, we ain't got to get into all of
right,
that, Max.
So don't
all
tell me easy. You this. Haven't been 300 since high school.
See,
stop
I wasn't
that.
Trying to call it out. All
I'm simply saying is this, Jay. There's a lot of hitting that happens in the 2 seconds from when the ball is snapped to when you would throw the shovel pass. I'm just putting it out there. Like, I don't know that most people can appreciate how quickly all of that happens.
Right. Now,
like, the reaction time is a real thing in the National Football League. That's why everybody is so focused on 10-yard splits for pass rushers and those read and react drills that they run guys through when they're in Indy. Like, I don't know that most people could react quick enough to what's happening around them to get that shovel pass off or that swing pass off for a catch-and-run opportunity.
Yeah, by the way, then the guy has to pick up 8 yards after you shovel pass to you, right?
Like, yeah, there's it's that not, part
and,
of it,
and
too.
You got to do it before you get carted off. Pat Costello, our very own Pat Costello, believes he could do it. Pat, you believe you can do it?
I do, and I was just informed that Teddy Bruschi popped into our TV control room, and he saw me on camera and said, I think he could do it. So Teddy Bruschi's on my side.
It's not theoretically, is it possible? It's realistically, you think you could pick up 10 yards of passing offense before you got hit to the point where you could no longer play in the NFL.
Max, we're leaving a piece of this out, Max. Yeah. Do that, throw the pass, right. Pick up the 10 yards, and then survive and walk off the field.
Yes, survive and walk off the field.
Who's to say that you won't get hit and get carted off? Like, you can throw the ball and get hit as soon as you throw. The guy pick up the 10 yards, but then you don't walk off the field.
I think,
so that
I think
has
Pat's
to be a
saying,
part of the math, too.
But I think Pat's saying that's fine. Could he, whether or not he got carted off the field, leave with 10 yards of passing offense on his stats?
Yeah, one for one, 12 yards and a broken leg would be my stat line.
But why do you think you're going to pick up 12 yards on one play? That's hard to do.
By the way, like, you would even make it through your first option. Yet alone go through a progression.
Not only am I confident I could do it, I think I could do it without throwing a shuffle pass.
Okay, so that means that you're going, about this, though? I'm just sitting here thinking about this. What if you don't do it on your first attempt? Like, confidence that you can survive on multiple dropbacks and get this done?
Kyler Murray can do it, I can do it.
What?
Kyler Murray's one of the best athletes to ever play football.
By the way, Kyler Murray might be the Earth's greatest athlete. he got drafted sixth overall by Billy Beane to play baseball.
Pat, I've seen you walk around the ESPN studios in Bristol. You're not moving like that. Sorry.
He's tiny.
Pat, you wild. If you don't do it on the first attempt, it ain't going to happen.
And that's the thing, Pat. Is it theoretically possible? Yes. But if anyone could just... Like, it's hard for NFL quarterbacks on any given play to pick up 12 yards. That's a first down, right? Like, you think that you're going to, with no NFL experience, walk out onto a field and just happen to pick up 12 yards on the first play?
100%.
No, there's no way. Max, I was doing the Giants postgame this season, and I had the Week 17 game at MetLife against the Colts, and they trotted out Sam Ehlinger and Nick Foles. and Nick Foles that won a championship with the Eagles.
Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
Neither of them threw for over 100 yards. Neither of them.
Right.
And Pat thinks he can throw for 10 yards
on one play
in the NFL?
Basically on
Stop
one
yourself.
Play. He's got about one play in him.
Stop
they-
yourself. You got one play. You're not going to last multiple plays out there. You're not putting together a drive.
Pat, you ever been on an NFL sideline? You ever been on an NFL sideline?
I think we're giving way too much credit. I just need to see Pat throw the ball first. Like, can he actually throw a tight spiral? I want to start there.
I'll drop it into a window. I'll be like Eli Manning on the Mario Manningham pass. All drop right, it into a right. window on a fade down the field.
Right.
It'd be great.
Right. See,
Pat,
you
ever been
on
an
Pat.
NFL sideline? That's what I want to know.
I have not.
All I can tell you about an NFL sideline, when you're watching it up close, forget about the speed and the size, which is absurd, right? It's not like they make nice, clean tackles and everything fits together like, you know, a round hole, peg in a round hole. Nothing happens at a right angle. Everything's at an awkward angle. And after one play, you think, how's anyone still walking? Like, I don't understand how they're still walking.
It's called Tordol, Max. It's called Ultram. Right, right. It's called lidocaine. Yeah. It's all the drugs we get shot up with before we take the field.
That's right. I mean, there's no other explanation.
So my question, Kate, like, who's my coordinator? Does it matter? Like, does it matter what play we call it?
You can take... 10?
Listen,
Bill
I know you
Walsh.
Said you wanted like Andy Reid or Brian Daboll or
somebody
like that.
I need
somebody
to give me some tricky stuff, man. You know, easy
yeah, that's
first
cool,
read, but, easy second read.
But, yeah, see, the problem that I have with what Pat said is he put too much gas on it. He said it's not going to be a swing pass, that's a easy. Shovel, or a screen. He has confidence that he can throw the ball downfield.
He said 12
Ain't no
yards.
Way
not
in
10.
Hell.
Not
he gave himself an extra 2 yards.
12
yards.
Extra, you know, it's,
he's throwing
a
7-yard pass, and the guy's
Super
picking up
confident.
Five yak.
Picking up the first. I also fully believe I could hit a 3-pointer in an NBA game. So,
uh-oh.
That's easier.
Yeah. That's more realistic.
That's so easier.
So then my question is the hardest thing to do as a non-athlete or a non-pro, I should say, is hitting a fastball? Is that the top of the top of things that most people can't do?
Yeah, it's because it's hard to hit
a baseball. Yeah,
hold on.
Yeah,
best hitter in the world gonna miss most of the time.
Hey Jay, you
yeah,
said
hitting a baseball is pretty damn hard.
Jay, you said hitting a three in a game is easy. I mean, Alan Hahn tried that against you in Key. Well,
yeah,
against
but
you, against you. And
yeah,
that
but throughout the course of
well.
An NBA game, you're gonna get open looks. Like with the volume of possessions, you're gonna get a naked look, as we are called in the league, and like it, you'll have a chance to make it.
So how
not
many?
But here's another thing, Jay.
How many points does
how
someone get
he,
then, Jay?
How long does Pat stay on an NBA? Like you have to factor that in too. You can't just leave him out there so he can try to hit a three because you're going to get slaughtered, right? So
yeah, because he's a liability on
right.
The
so what are you going to put him in for? 20 seconds at a time? You know what
how
I mean?
Dare you.
One possession.
I just want to see a Pat.
So
can
you know
make
my
it up
answer is no. You can't hit
times.
The three either.
Jokic
no.
I don't think
doesn't
Pat's
play
conditioning
defense.
Is good enough to make it up and down the court. A
Jokic
couple times.
Doesn't play defense. He's out there how many minutes? So I mean, Pat can do it.
This is what happens. See,
6'11", absurdly skilled Jokic.
It's called reckless speculation. This is what happens with fans when they believe they can do it.
I think hitting. Period is probably the hardest.
Is that the
thing
hardest
to do.
Thing to do?
It's not the catching most dangerous, up, obviously. But
how about being a wide receiver catching the ball in the lights?
I think hitting, man. It's the ball's coming in 60 feet away. Nowadays, close to 100 miles an hour with spin, different arm slots. Like you got no shot. No shot. Like there's no way.
That's the hardest thing in sports.
Well, it's hard because when you say hard, it doesn't hurt like football, not usually.
That's a
like
great point, Max.
A bucket on LeBron, like is that not as hard as hitting a baseball without being defended?
Want to fight Deontay?
Scoring
Wilder?
A bucket on LeBron is about as hard as watching a LeBron James movie.
Deontay Wilder, KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hey yo!
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.